Saviour's name. I'm going to ask Joanne to come now and to share with us the great things the Lord has done for her and how he has had compassion on her soul. You're going to be on your own in the pulpit here, so I'm going to have a gate so you don't want.
Hello everyone, thanks for coming, thanks for having me here. I'll start by telling you a little bit about myself. As you've all been told, I'm Joanne, I'm wife to Paul and mother of three children, Beth who's six, Luke who's five and Mark who's four. I was born and lived in Londonderry for the first 29 years of my life. I was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church by my very devout Catholic parents, and that involved going to Mass every Sunday and following all the Roman Catholic traditions. I mean, I always believed in God, and for a long time I was quite religious, but as Reverend Martin has already said, that religion and a church don't save you. And I didn't understand that at that time in my life. I mean, I knew Jesus died on the cross for my sins to be forgiven, but I didn't know him. And to be honest, I didn't know that I could know him. I certainly didn't trust in him. I trusted in the Catholic Church and what I'd been taught in school and at home. And I followed their practices and hoped someday that I'd be good enough to get to heaven. I studied religious studies at A-level. I studied the Book of Acts, Galatians and Corinthians. So I had read at least parts of the Bible and I knew the gospel story. But I didn't know or trust the Lord. My parents were very active in the Catholic Church. My daddy, he set up for the chapel for every event taking place. And my mum said the rosary daily and attended meetings and events regularly. Daddy was never out of the chapel. He was always up there and he'd be waiting for your dinner and, oh, Daddy's not back yet. He was always there. They both attended Mass, daily Mass, and made many pilgrimages to Catholic shrines to Mary over the years. And sometimes I had been too. They trusted in the Catholic Church and they hoped that would get them to heaven. They just hoped. They went to confession, and when I was younger, I went to confession too, and they believed that unless they went to a priest and confessed their sins to a man, that they would not be forgiven. But they didn't know the Lord and they didn't trust in him. I couldn't understand a lot of the things from my limited reading of the Bible, and even from things that would be said in the Mass themselves. They didn't add up, and I just couldn't understand them. And when I moved to Belfast in 2009, it was during this time that I began to fall away from the Catholic Church and I stopped attending Mass. I didn't stop believing in God. I just didn't get it and I didn't see the point. My mum would often ask me about my attendance at Mass, and especially when I visited. I began to question religion, and over a couple of years, I didn't associate myself with the Catholic Church. That didn't mean I was looking for another church. It didn't mean that I was seeking God in another way. I wasn't. And I certainly wasn't interested in reading the Bible. I didn't even own one. It was in 2011, when I met Paul, that religion came up again. Paul had a very different upbringing to me. He grew up in a Christian home and he had saved parents. So we had very different experiences growing up. After we'd been dating for some time, I remember praying. And it had been so long. I don't remember the last time I'd prayed before that. I prayed that if it was the Lord's will, things would work out between us. It was the very first time in my life I ever prayed like that. And I remember at the time thinking, you know, it was different that I was asking it would be the Lord's will, and that's something I had never done before. I never really remember anyone else praying like that or having any exposure to that type of prayer. It was during the next few years at a funeral and a few wedding services that I heard the gospel preached, faithfully preached. I believe that this was the Lord starting to work in my heart. I seen how wrong the Catholic Church was, placing so much importance on a priest with their rituals and things that were not biblical. I seen that it wasn't about a church. It wasn't about a denomination. It was about the Bible and what the Lord's word said and what he had given to us in his word that was important. It was in 2015, the Lord answered my prayers and Paul and I were married. Then in 2019, after our third child was born, we decided we would look for a church to attend as a family. We began attending Sunday morning services at Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church under the ministry of Reverend Martin. And it was on Sunday, the 30th of June, I said to Paul, "I think I'd like to go out to church tonight." It wasn't something I'd been thinking about. It wasn't something that I had considered much about. It was just on that Sunday, I just kind of got the feeling that I would just like to go out that evening to the church service. I hadn't talked about it before with Paul, and I just said, he says, "Yeah, well, if you want to go." Don't remember his exact words, but I went out anyway. And it was the first time I was at an evening service. I sat at the back, nervous and feeling a little bit out of place. We'd always been out together as a family, and I was never on my own, but at the same time, I felt very welcomed. I sat and listened intently to the Reverend Thomas Martin preach from Isaiah 53. I heard how the Lord Jesus suffered and died for my sins, for me, just so unimportant, me. My heart was absolutely broken. I remember tears running down my face and coming under complete and utter conviction of my sin and ready to give my life to Christ. In that moment, I just knew that I wanted to give my life over to Christ. I didn't have any doubt. I was just completely convicted of my sin. The service ended and Reverend Martin made his way down the church to the door. I quite literally jumped out of my seat and stopped him before he even got to the door. I told him I would like to come to know the Lord. And that night, in the quiet of the church prayer room, that's just what I did. I acknowledged that I was a sinner and I asked the Lord Jesus to cleanse me from my sin, and I gave my life to him. I just want to say, there's times previously to that I had sat in church and I thought, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't keep that. I couldn't make that commitment. I couldn't leave the things of the world and I wouldn't be able to do that. But you can't do that on your own. You can only do that with Christ. It's Christ that keeps you. And that's what I was to find. So from then, things changed. I began reading the Bible, seeking the Lord in prayer, and living for him rather than the things of the world. There have been many times of temptation and many struggles, but the Lord has always brought me through. He's always been faithful. So now I came to a difficult thing. I had to tell my parents. And that was no easy task. I didn't know how they were going to react. But I trusted the Lord. And I prayed. And I did it. I went and I spoke to them. I told them that I trusted the Lord and believed he died for my sins, and I had assurance of my salvation. I explained that Jesus was the only way to salvation, that no church or set of rules could do that. The only way was Jesus. And they didn't really understand. They just trusted the teaching of the Catholic Church and followed their religion faithfully. I found opportunities to talk to Mum again, but Daddy didn't listen. I was just his little girl, and I didn't know better than him. I remember him telling me, "Do you think you know better than me?" But in 2021, that was to bring the most difficult time of my life. Now, my daddy had been sick for most of my life, but he'd always got through it. I'm sort of used to him being sick. When I was at school, he had kidney failure, and he was on dialysis until he received a kidney transplant. Then in more recent years, he had cancer, and he had an eye removed, and part of an ear removed also. But he still kept going, and he still kept going to the church, and up to the chapel, and attending everything, and there seemed to be no wavering there. Mum's health was going downhill too, especially her mobility. She was almost housebound, and despite his own health, Dad was her carer. In January 2021, we got the news that Dad's cancer was back, and this time there was nothing that could be done. The doctors thought 6 to 12 months, but Daddy didn't know that. Daddy didn't want to know. Daddy wanted to live and pretend that it was all going to be okay, and when he got out of this and he came round, things would be different. Now, because he had gone downhill and with COVID, he hadn't been up to the chapel, and there was a bit of distance there, and he just felt that he'll get back up there and he'll take over again and he'll do what he was doing and it'll all go back to normal. But he did agree that the doctors could talk to me, so I knew. This made the need to witness to him more pressing. And with my mum's health continuing to deteriorate, I was increasingly concerned that they would not come to know the Lord and die in their sin, with an eternal suffering awaiting them. I prayed and trusted that it would be the Lord's will, that by his grace he would save them. My church prayed and my family prayed, and I kept trusting the Lord. And when I started to worry, I left it with the Lord. Just kept going back to the Lord and taking it back to him and leaving it with him. In August 2021, my mum was admitted to hospital, and less than a week later, my dad was also admitted. After a couple of days, they moved Dad to the same ward as Mum. The nurses would wheel Mum over to sit with Dad during the day. It was 9 days after Dad was admitted that I got a call from the doctor to come to the hospital. They thought Dad had only days left. Now, this was during the lockdown in 2021, and visiting was very, very restricted. There was only one visit a week, and it was only one nominated person that could visit. So I was allowed to visit, and Dad could see Mum because they were on the same ward. So it was just the Lord's very good that that had worked out like that, that Mum was there and she could sit with him. So I had agreed with the doctor that we wouldn't tell Mum Dad's prognosis until I got there. So with me there, the doctor spoke the news to my mum. It was really hard. Really, really hard. Even the drive up the road, just knowing where you were going and what you were going to do. But I'd been to church that morning and I'd spoke to the minister and some of the elders there and some of the congregation, and I knew they were praying. And I knew my in-laws were praying, and the grace of the Lord gave me was sufficient. He was faithful. I never imagined how the Lord would strengthen me like he did. I just kept praying for the strength and grace, and the Lord just kept answering. And you know, it was that night I read God's word to Mum, and I had the privilege of pointing her to the Lord. I just, in the hospital, the wee side room in the hospital, I remember just sitting there with her. Paul and the kids were allowed in that night, and they got to see Mum and see Dad, and they shouldn't have been allowed in, but the sister wasn't there, and just worked out that the right person was there at the right time and let them in. And after they left, I just sat quietly with Mum and talked to her. And I'd just like to share the passage I read with you now. From Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord had answered my prayers and the prayers of all those who had prayed for the salvation of my mother. The Lord is faithful. So, Dad had been unresponsive that day, and I didn't know if I would get another chance to witness to him. The next day, Reverend Crane and my father-in-law were permitted in to see Dad. I'll just explain that when Paul and I were married, it was Reverend Crane that had married us. Paul was a friend of Paul's from when he was younger. So Dad knew him because of the wedding, and we felt that he was, you know, going to accept him coming in, and there was a link there. So we'd asked Reverend Crane to come, and we had been praying that Dad would be responsive and he would have an opportunity to share the gospel with him. And as I said there, on the Sunday, we had that wee opportunity for Paul and the kids to come in. And then on the Monday, we didn't know, you know, if they were going to be allowed in because of the strict visiting. But the sister was back, and she let Paul's dad and Reverend Crane in, and they were the last sort of visitors that Dad had. And again, our prayers were answered because Dad was alert and he was able to talk to us. So Dad had been completely unresponsive the day before. He wasn't opening his eyes at all, and I was speaking to him there, and there was just nothing. But that day, during that time of the visit, he was able to talk and communicate with us, and that in itself was just a miracle, just that prayer being answered, that he was alert. So Reverend Crane shared the gospel with Daddy, and he read from Romans 10, the same passage I read to Mum that I've shared with you tonight. And we hadn't talked about it or anything like that. It was just the Lord's will that that would be the passage that he would read. And right there in the hospital room, my Daddy trusted in the Lord, with myself and my Mum there with him. And it was beautiful. Just to be there and to know and to have assurance and hear myself that my daddy had trusted in the Lord. I never have to doubt. I never have to think, you know, did he trust the Lord or did mum trust the Lord? I was there and I was able to share that and the Lord gave me that. So after that day, daddy wasn't really very alert and certainly not like he was on that occasion. He went downhill and he was conscious and maybe said the odd word, but not a regular conversation like that day. I sat with him every day as he slowly deteriorated. Every day the nurse would wheel mum over from her side room to sit with him. It was such a blessing to have that time, all three of us together. I had a wonderful peace knowing that the Lord had saved him and he was on his way home to his Saviour. Watching Daddy suffering was terrible. There's nothing that could have prepared me for it. But the Lord didn't let me down. His grace and strength was endless. So many people were praying for me and their prayers were answered. A lady at church sent me a lovely text with a verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He careth for you. Me? He careth for me. And what an encouragement that was, and it came at just the right time. 10 days later, Dad went to be with his Saviour. I was with him, and he went peacefully. The comfort and peace I felt knowing he was in his heavenly home was incredible. Just having that assurance to know that his suffering was over and to know where he was absolutely amazing. It gave such comfort and such peace. 7 weeks later, I sat with my mum as she joined Dad in eternity. Again, the strength the Lord gave me upheld me. I prayed, my church prayed, my family prayed, and God just kept answering. His grace was sufficient. What a faithful God. It was the most difficult and painful time of my life, but also the most blessed. My Lord not only saved my parents, but allowed me to be there when they trusted in him. I have the comfort of knowing I will see them again when I come into his presence. I felt God's grace and strength like never before, and I know he was with me through it all. What a wonderful Saviour I have. I just want to finish by asking, do you know and trust in Christ Jesus? Because you can. You can be that whosoever. The whosoever. He can work in your heart, and you too can have assurance of sins forgiven. You might think, oh, I could never do that. I could never keep it. I could never give up the things of the world, those worldly loves and desires. I could never give them up. But I was the once like that too. Once you place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will keep you. There will be difficult times, but that's when he can draw near to you. He will keep his promises. The peace that you can have, knowing that you have a heavenly home, it can be yours too. You can be that whosoever tonight. Just in your seat, you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your life over to him, and he will save you. Or maybe it's a loved one that's unsaved. No matter how impossible you think it is, keep praying and keep witnessing. The Lord is able, and he can work in their heart too. Prayer is so powerful. And to trust the Lord is something very special. And you don't know what the Lord has in store. you don't know. You might think somebody is so far from the Lord that they'll never be saved. It doesn't matter how far they are. Grace can save them. Nothing I can say, nothing any minister can say, but the Lord's grace can save them. Just pray and never give up. Thank you.
I would like just to say a word of thanks to our sister Joanne for that very clear and inspirational testimony. It's a wonderful thing what the Lord has done in her life, in the life of Paul and the family, and of course in the life of her mum and dad. Remarkable thing to be saved, but to give the privilege to point both your mum and dad to the Lord is an amazing thing. And we've all a burden for our loved ones, and God gave Joanne the great privilege of seeing her mum saved. The joy of sitting down, opening up the Bible, and then sharing with her the gospel, and then her mother to respond positively. And then in the last moments of his life, in the 11th hour, the Reverend Jonathan Crane getting to the hospital, witnessing, presenting the claims of Christ, and then to see her dad come to know the Saviour. It's a remarkable thing. I'm taking you're the only child in the family then, is that? Pardon?
Yes.
Yes, so that's why you were given the permission to go in then, nobody else, just yourself. So it's a wonderful thing, and that's why you're daddy's little girl. There was nobody else there, so what a privilege. But to know Joanne got saved, and the Lord blessed the home and worked even in our family, it's a remarkable thing how good the Lord is, how patient and loving and kind. And he waits to be gracious, even at the last moment, although it's not always good to leave it to the last moment because you're never sure that you'll get it. It could have been a different story. Joanne could have been saying, you know, my mum and dad went into hospital, and before I got up, before any minister got there, both of them passed away in the same night, and I just don't know where they stood with God. You know how it is, and you know the anxiety of that with all our loved ones. But it's a wonderful thing. I do remember the night that she was saved. I finished preaching. I always come down this side of the pulpit. In Cumber, I come down this side. But in Lisburn, I always came down this. And I walked down just about where Frank Corkin is at the minute. She was sitting in the right in the back seat. And just as I got to about Richard Allen, she bounced out in front of me. She scared the living daylights out of me. And she grabbed me by the arm. She's a firm grip, let me tell you. She grabbed me by the arm and she said, and she was shaking. I mean, she was trembling. And I looked at her and she says, I need to trust the Lord tonight. And you knew she was determined. She was coming to Christ tonight. And I remember walking as if you're walking. You know, on Thursday, Robert walked his daughter up the aisle. I was walking Joanna out of the church. And I remember the men going in to count the money. And he says, men, don't be going in there. We need to talk to Joanne. And I remember the night she got saved, clear as crystal. And the rest is history. How good the Lord has been to her. Now, let me ask you as we close, what about you? And where do you stand with the Lord tonight? Young person, older person, male or female, where do you stand with the Lord tonight? Tell me, are you saved? And there's individuals who all their lives were devout Roman Catholic, right to the very last year of their life, trusting in a false religion and trusting in a false gospel. And hoping by the church to get to heaven. And yet God saved them and was merciful to them. Yet you know the truth. And you've been armed with it. And you're not in ignorance about it. You know what you need to do. Now, why are you not saved? Why haven't you come to the Lord? What keeps you back? What's holding you back? Young person, older person, why haven't you come to Christ? Why haven't you repented? Here are individuals who are pressing in before you. People who have never had the privileges you had. They've never heard. Joanne actually said she didn't even have a Bible. Didn't even have a witness. In fact, she said these words that she never prayed like that before because it was only a form and a ritual. She had no desire. And yet, here you are tonight in God's house under the sound of God's word. And as Joanne said, whosoever, that means you, And friends, listen to me. Christ has come into the world. Christ has died on the cross. He shed his blood. He suffered in anger or in anguish, the divine wrath of God. And he endured that punishment for sin. He shed his blood, that he gave his life. That's what it means. The shedding of the blood. Giving your life as a ransom price for sin. And sinner, he rose from the dead. Now he offers freely to all who will repent and believe and come to him eternal salvation. It's like a free gift. And all you've got to do by faith is come as a sinner, repent, believe, and receive Christ into your heart as your own and personal Saviour. And then you'll know for sure. You will know for sure that you are bound for heaven and that you're right with God and your sins are all forgiven you. I trust the Lord will bless that testimony and those messages in song and these closing remarks to all of your heart. And if the Lord has spoken to you tonight in this meeting house, if you feel any concern about your sin, your soul, and where you stand with God, and you would like to get saved, then listen to me. I say this to you. Come tonight. Speak to somebody that you feel comfortable in this house with, or even myself, or even Joanne, whatever you would like to do. Just if you want to talk about the Lord, about salvation, then please don't go away without the Saviour. And I trust you will come and trust Christ this evening. We'll sing a few verses because the ladies have been making their way over just to prepare the supper. And you're all invited. Don't be in a hurry home, please. Young and old, you come and join with us, please, for supper. 251. We'll sing the first two verses. That'll give time just for the ladies to make their way over and some of the gentlemen just to prepare the kettles and to get the supper ready. And then just sit at the table. You don't have to sit at any table in particular, just you sit anywhere and then do have fellowship, and we trust the Lord will richly bless. Verses 1 and 2 of 251. Let's all stand as we sing. Just remain standing for prayer. We'd also like to thank our musicians, the piano and the organ, and also the flautists. That's a big word for me. Alan and Rachel, we do appreciate your help here in the service. Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for thine only begotten and well-beloved Son. We praise thee for his cross, his finished work, his precious shed blood. We thank thee for that one great sacrifice for sin forever. We bless thee that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but his blood washed it whiter than snow. We thank thee for the sorrows and sufferings of the Son of God. We praise thee that he came, whose God blessed forevermore, lived a sinlessly perfect life, and then died on the cruel cross of Calvary, bearing our sin and shame. The undiluted wrath of God fell upon his sinless body when he made himself the substitute for sinners, when he offered himself without spot to God, a sacrifice well-pleasing in thy sight. And we thank thee that death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away, And we thank thee for our risen Saviour, one who is alive forevermore, having finished the work of redemption. And now he freely offers in the gospel to all who will repent and believe and trust in him a full and free salvation. We pray, Lord, you will bless the ministry and song. We pray you'll bless the testimony from our sister Joanne, these closing remarks, and grant, Lord, that thy Spirit will work and bring precious souls to repentance and faith in Christ. And we pray, Lord, there will be signs following in the ministry of the word, and grant that sinners would be converted, thy great name honoured and glorified. And now, Lord, we pray as we leave the house. Some may have to go to other meetings and others are heading home. For those that remain, receive of our thanks for these good things that are provided. As we sit together, may we eat and drink, and may we do so to thine honour and glory. Presence thyself with us now. Tarry with us, abide with us. Intensify thy presence even in the church hall, and grant that in thy house we will know the nearer presence of the Lord. Receive of our thanks now, and bless George, bless Joanne and Paul and the family. And Lord, continue thy good hand upon them, and as they further would minister for thee in various singing engagements and testimonial meetings, grant that you'll use them for thy glory, and that many souls will be brought to know the Saviour. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen.